And I'd like to thank Taryn there for the intro, by the way. You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. I am, as usual, your oh-so-lovable host, Brian Kilby. Sorry for the late update, but, well, I have a life outside of this. Not much of one, mind you, but just enough so that I'm sometimes occupied. And also, this is, what, the 14th take here. Well, we have a full show for you this week. We have news from Cybertron by Turin, John DeLuna's ATT Buzz, Goldimus Prime's toy review, which is Mirage Trivia, and the State of the Fandom Address by yours truly. So let's get down to it. Here's Turin with news from Cybertron.
News from Cybertron.
Welcome to News from Cybertron. This is Turin. Today's top story. The Decepticon Razorclaw was committed to the Cyberview Institute this week. After a failed power-boosting experiment at Decepticon headquarters, he apparently snapped and went on a rampage. He ran amok through several Cybertronian cities before he was finally apprehended. When he was found, he was standing in the middle of a town square, shouting, "I am Voltron, Defender of the Universe. You are all powerless before my mighty sword." Soundwave attempted to calm him down with a soothing voice, but all to no avail. He kept insisting that he was the Black Lion. When personnel from Cyberview finally moved in on him, he shouted piteously, "Predacons, form Voltron! Hurry! Hurry!" while his teammates looked on in anguish. We tried to interview Headstrong of the Predacon team, but the scene was too intensely emotional, and in the interests of Decepticon dignity and our own health, we agreed not to air the footage. Razorclaw is getting the best of care at this time, and his teammates, though visibly distraught, are hopeful that he'll make a full recovery. In other news, Starscream's Ghost has made another appearance recently. Apparently a human music group called Dead Broke released a cover of "These Boots Are Made for Walkin'," and included several tasteless scenes of Starscream's tomb in their music video, as well as bootleg footage from the famous battle at Autobot City. They enjoyed brief success until Starscream's Ghost took over the body of the Autobot Bumblebee and convinced Dead Broke to go for a joyride. The ride was presumably less than joyful, however, as the possessed Bumblebee drove straight off the Golden Gate Bridge. Bumblebee should make a full recovery, but the music group with the rather prophetic name was not so lucky. And that's the news this week.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Thank you, Turin, for that bit of weekly info. Coming up now is John DeLuna's ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and we did get a decent little debate for a couple days on the news group this week. We got a sneak peek of the new quote-unquote Dinobot Triceradon and his tech spec. And next to the tech spec, we got a sneak peek at what looks like to be the Tyrannosaurus Rex head of the Dinobot leader. Now, here's the debate. Is that a recolored Magmatron or a recolored Ultra Megatron? Well, there is no debate, really, because if you look at the head, it's got a tongue. And that's a dead giveaway that it is Ultra Megatron, because that's his water squirter. Besides, if it was Magmatron, that would be the top of his shoulder. And if you squint real hard and look at the picture, you can see that that T-Rex head is actually attached to an arm, just like Megatron. But don't be surprised if Hasbro does a few retools on the toy. At least I certainly hope they swap heads, because, you know, the original head, that's Megatron's head. So, new character, new face, please. Moving on, I must say that I am shocked at the lack of ATT posts about the trannies. I hope it's just a case of everybody busy filling out their ballots, because the trannies are a real important thing. They're a yearly ritual. They're a rite, people. And you've got to vote. Even if you only have time to vote for a few categories, just do it. Because if the trannies stop existing, I have a feeling we'll never hear from Robert Jung again. Also on ATT, we got information that Spooky has posted yet again some perfectly legal advanced copies of Beast Machine toys. Two basic toys. The first is Obsidian, the evil Viacon helicopter, and the second is Longhorn, the heroic Maximal with the anti-social nose ring. And you know, the more I look at these beast machines, the more I realize that the Maximals actually are more interesting to me. There's something about that sleek, animal, slightly deformed kind of form that piques my interest. Now don't get me wrong, I do like the Viacons, they are nice toys. But I am a child of G1, and I did go through the painful last years of G2, not to mention the horror of Machine Wars. So those vehicle modes do bring back some bad memories, and if I never speak of Machine Wars again, it'll be too soon. Let me just tell you, if you didn't live through Machine Wars, consider yourself lucky. This about sums up Machine Wars. Megatron was an airplane, and Soundwave was a missile launcher. Yeah, whatever. And finally, Botcon.com has posted registration for Botcon 2000. And it's up and ready, and all you gotta do is print it out, fill it up, and send it in for your pre-registry. Have no doubt that ATT will now start buzzing about going to BotCon this year. Yes, BotCon, the only weekend in the year when trans fans from all over the world take over a dinky convention center, get drunk on soda, rip each other apart for Japanese toys, and kiss up to voice actors like the shameless groupies we are. Tis the season. That's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
BotCon. Hopefully I and a few of the other RFC staffers will be at BotCon this year, so we can probably pull together that BotCon special that I've been planning since RFC came into fruition. We'll probably have a roundtable discussion and on-the-spot reactions to the convention from you fans, which hopefully will be fun. The special might be broadcasted during BotCon, but we'll have to make sure we have net access first. Coming up right now, here on Radio Free Cybertron, is Goldimus Prime's review of Mirage.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Mirage's vehicle mode is one of the best yet. Highly realistic and, well, just plain cool looking. Mirage's vehicle mode is, of course, IndyCar, or so the package calls it. The term Cybertronic IndyCar has been used and probably fits better for the form. Mirage's color scheme is a gunmetal gray with a lighter accent, almost a blue silver for one of a better color definition. He also has some yellow in the front for headlights, a yellow grill on the sides of his wheels, his spoiler, and his exhaust pipe. Mirage's color scheme works very well for his form, even down to the translucent blue in the rear, which is supposed to look like an engine block and exhaust pipes. As packaged, Mirage's head is facing the rear of the vehicle. This creates a driver area and also lets the large translucent blue exhaust pipes come off the head and actually look normal. Though Mirage's head can be turned to face forward, it kind of leaves the exhaust pipes hanging with nowhere to attach to. Though they can be left in the original position and kind of connect to the back of Mirage's head. Except for the exhaust pipes, he looks a lot better in vehicle mode with his head facing forward and the gun flipped down on his head. Mirage is approximately 5 inches long in vehicle mode, quite possibly the largest basic we've ever gotten. Mirage rides low to the ground. His spark is also located directly under his nose cone. Some people have called it the suicide spark, since one good bump would extinguish it. Mirage's transformation is highly intuitive for the most part, except when you get right to the end and have to fold up the feet and the back. Mirage's robot mode has one basic problem. The torso is very thin. This is kind of compensated for by the back being visible between the torso and arms, and especially extra-wide shoulders. But still, he's very thin and weak-looking. Another problem is in his arms, actually, which are molded just like G2 arms, which, if you'll remember, is poorly molded fists with peg holes. And the peg holes are only good for one thing, holding the gun that's normally mounted on Mirage's head. Unfortunately, they can't hold his hockey stick missiles, though those are sticking off the arms at all times. These missiles are basically G2 cyberjet missiles, which means there's no spring to launch them. You just push on the rear end of the missile, and eventually enough force builds up that it pops out of the holder and goes maybe 1 to 2 feet if you're lucky. An interesting point has been brought up about these missiles, though, because of the fact excessive force is what breaks transformers, but excessive force is what's needed to launch the missiles. Now, there's some good planning, don't you think? The most surprising thing I found about Mirage was the fact he actually had a gun that looked like a gun. It can be mounted on his head or removed and placed in his hand, which is the only thing the peg holes are good for, as I mentioned earlier. The robot mode is fairly poseable. Several joints in the arms, and some poseability in the legs, which is kind of hampered by the fact the lower legs are quite a bit longer than the hips. It eliminates a couple poses, but not very much. The feet are also stuck where you have them in robot mode. There's no angle articulation due to the way it transforms. The arms are also somewhat bulky due to the fact each arm has half a spoiler hanging off it. These serve as the missile launchers, of course, and in addition to the push missiles, they have molded-in missiles as well. Okay, it's pretty clear that the vehicle mode is superior to the robot mode here, even if it doesn't have any poseability other than the head and the gun. The robot mode is nice, but it suffers from disproportionate limbs and torsos and such. Oh, another thing I forgot to mention. His head cannot sit properly over his shoulders. It sits back, behind them somewhat. Again, due to the way the transformation works. The only gimmick Mirage has is the push missiles, which I covered that earlier, and I really don't like them that much. I feel that these launchers will either break or just wear out eventually with continued use. The only good thing about this kind of missile launcher is no springs to wear out by storing the missiles in the launchers. On the normal scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst and 10 being the best, Mirage's vehicle mode gets an 8. It's just really cool looking, On the same scale, Mirage's robot mode gets a 6. It's cool. I really do like it, but it's got too many problems for me to give it much higher a rating. The push missile launchers, that I'm not a real big fan of those, as I've mentioned already. And the scrawny torso and giant legs just really don't work for me. Overall, Mirage is a very nice toy. Nice vehicle mode and pretty good robot mode, even if it does have problems. On the normal scale, 1 to 10, you know the drill, he gets an overall 7. I would really recommend this toy to any kind of collector, coolest, completest, even just a show completest. And I really do hope that Mirage is added as a character next season on Beast Machines. This is Goldenus Prime with Radio Free Cybertron Toy Review.
Thanks there, Goldie. There's a good pic of Mirage up on the page, which was provided by Goldimus Prime. It's there for you to take a gander at. Also on the page is AlexJ33106's fanfic review. Up-to-the-date news from the fanfic group Marvel Universe Transformed. Check that out. There will be a link in the news. Also, on the page is last week's trivia, and a trivia question from Zabavor, a.k.a. Dave Edwards. Of course, John Nolan is retro view of Devastator and his last two ATT buzzes. The plural form of buzz. Last week's material will be put into the archive section soon, later in the week, hopefully, to make room on the homepage. Also, be on the lookout for the current poll. Are you looking forward to the new Japanese line of car robots, or whatever they're calling it? I'll leave that poll up one more week to allow you to get your vote in. Also, if you're a new listener, every single past RFC broadcast is available in the archive section, except for last week's, that is, which is on the homepage still. Just look to the left of the page, and you'll see the word archive, which should be in yellow. Click on it, and you're there. Also, we have a feedback forum set up on the main page. Just click on feedback on the left, or scroll down on the main page, and you're there. Note, it doesn't seem to be compatible with AOL at the moment, and it definitely isn't compatible with those who don't have a default mail client set up. We'll try to get this straightened out when I modify the page later in the week. Also, be on the lookout for the new listeners forum. One thing that you'll notice isn't on the page is the interview with Maximus Prime due to the snow. I hate snow. I wasn't able to get the interview done, and again, I won't be able to this week, again, due to the snow. I really hate snow. Well, I may be able to get it in this week if I can wire up my room to do all the necessary recording of the interview. But as of the moment, I have to get off my sorry butt to do it. And please, also, if we've arranged an interview in the past, could you contact me again? I lost every single bit of info on my old PC when my hard drive crashed last week, so I don't have the arrangements or your names and ICQ number, etc. So, if you could ICQ me, email me, or whatever, and let me know. I remember that Maximus Prime, Dalmatian, and Dinobot 2, we were all planning on something for an interview. So if I didn't mention your name there, get back to me, please. Look on later in the week for more trivia, another retro review by John DeLuna, which should be Sunstreaker, and the new fanfic review, by whom I have no clue whatsoever. But that's how it is here at RFC. Coming up right now is trivia. For those of you who answered last week's trivia clip, look for your name to be mentioned when this trivia clip is added to the homepage. I would mention it now, but I've been inundated with stuff this week, and I've fallen very much behind. Sorry. As usual, I'll play the clip twice. If you don't catch it now, it will be posted on the webpage, that is, later in the week. Here's the clip.
Today marks a momentous occasion. In a few moments, the new power generator deep within our planet will begin to send energy into these processing units. Then we shall have an energy supply that will last forever.
And again, if you missed it there, I don't know why, but here it is again.
Today marks a momentous occasion. In a few moments, the new power generator deep within our planet will begin to send energy into these processing units. Then we shall have an energy supply that will last forever.
Okay, you know the drill. If you know the episode from which it comes, email me at kilby316 at abts.net. That's KILBY316 at abts.net. Coming up on the show right now is another top 8, Ocho, 8, not 10, 8, by Turin.
Hello and welcome to another top 8 list. Today's list, the top 8 Transformers with sexually suggestive names. We did try to keep it at PG-13, so your favorite Transformer may not have actually made it onto the list. Sorry. Number 8 on the list is Wild Rider. Number 7, Grapple. Number 6, Quick Strike. Number 5, Huffer. I hardly know her. Number 4, Sunstreaker, who apparently went to college in the 1960s. Number three is a tie between Blur and Lightspeed. I don't envy them. Number two, Hotspot. And number one on a list of Transformers with sexually suggestive names, a three-way tie between our favorites, Ramhorn, Ramjet, and Thrust. Thank you.
That was the top eight by Turin. Thanks, Turin. Coming up right now on the show is something that has been missing since the early days of RSC, my rant. It is the state of the fandom inspired by the President of the United States, that is, State of the Union Address earlier this week.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
My fellow trans fans. As trans fans, we enjoy a fellowship that many other collectors are not privileged to. We have a new show, Beast Machines, a new toy line to accompany that show. We have toys coming out from Japan all the time, be it exclusive repaints or new molds altogether. We have a new line, Car Robots, coming our way. We have the current line, Metals. We have a large, divergent fan base that seeks each other out to share in their hobby. We have an innumerable number of information on the net about ourselves, our hobby, and our fandom. We have RPGs, mushes, e-zines, chat rooms, radio shows, websites, custom toys. We're at the high point in our fandom. We should cherish it so long as it lasts. With the great prosperity must also come a few problems. Some people, rightly so, complain about the quality of the new show and some of the toys released. These are all to be expected and are healthy parts of a thriving community. Sometimes, however, such a divergent group can have problems communicating, and turmoil ensues. This too is natural. Perhaps it isn't so healthy, and only rarely is it detrimental to the fandom as a whole, but it does exist. In this great time of prosperity, we can expect one of two things: rise or decline. At the moment, it only looks to be going up. With the new toy lines, the rumor of a new movie in development, the long-anticipated DVD of Transformers the Movie, repaints and re-releases of existing toys, and rumors abounding of new toy lines and new toys all the time, the Transformers seem to be at a new high. Will the trend continue forever? No, of course not. Hopefully, trans fans will never see a period like immediately after G2's end, where the Transformers seem to be all but dead. But anything is possible. Trans fans are on one heck of a ride. Enjoy it while you can. I'm Brian Kilby for Radio Free Cybertron. Well, that's it for RFC this week. If you have any questions, comments, or anything you want to say, you can use the feedback form at the bottom of the page, or you can email us at rfc@knowledge.org. That's rfc@knowledge.org. There's no W. It's irony. Oh, yeah, and look on the page for links to Spooky's pics of the new Dinobots and the new Transmetal repaints, and the new basic Beast Machines toys, and info from cheapcases.com on how to purchase the new Beast Wars Classics toys. There's some interesting stuff listed there, like a Soundwave and Icebird. Whatever those are can only be left up to speculation. Oh well, don't forget to tune in next week for the new broadcast and check back periodically throughout the week for updates. Thanks and see you next week.